at Reggie and Maya. It was beautiful. Life for most people is spent in a waiting room. From the time we are very young, there has been a feeling that we were preparing for the real thing. We say, when I am old enough to go to school, when I graduate from college, when the children are grown and on their own, when I sell my business, when we retire and move to Italy, and so on and so on and so on. And then how very soon the realization dawns that much of what we have building for has already passed. So the anteroom looks upon yesterday with great regret and nostalgia, reminiscing how good it was when I was in school, when the house was full of the laughter of children, when I had a job to go to each day. In other words, there is a confused sense of looking for one's niche, one's place in time and space. Somehow we overlook the place where we are. Here and now is the best possible place to be. Best possible place to be from which to begin to move forward where we want to go. So it can be said, no matter where we are or what our circumstances, I am in my right place. Is that a shocking thought to you? Doesn't it seem to imply a sense of resignation or defeat? No, not at all. The essential ingredient to progression of any kind is to have a starting place and then to start. No matter how we hunger to get there, and even believe we are ready to begin, there is no beginning until we accept where we are as the right place and the only place from which to begin. In Jean Renoir's beautiful film, India, The River, there is a scene where a crippled American soldier, raging against fate that has overtaken him, asks a Hindu girl what he could do to make life worthwhile. She answers him in one word that seems to sum up all the differences between East and West. That one word is consent. In other words, be. There is no past, there is no future in the eternal now. So there is no time in which to find and know the truth or to achieve betterment that you may have dreamed of. There is no meaning in life or in the circumstances of life. The meaning can be found only in the person. And when he finds meaning in himself, it appears that all things have meaning, and he begins to live meaningfully. In New York City many years ago, Eric Butterworth conducted a very revealing experiment. With a little Portapak videotape system and some technical help from some very bright young staff members, he interviewed 100 people on the streets. He singled out individuals from a cross-section of society, young and old, rich and poor, bankers and laborers, men and women. He stopped people on Wall Street, on Madison Avenue, in Central Park, Grand Central Station, and in Greenwich Village. The people seemed to think that they were being interviewed for television, and generally they were very cooperative. He asked one question of each of them, and that question was this: what would you do if you had 6 months to live? A few people nervously replied, I would live it up. I would have a ball. A few said that they would pray and hope for the best, and some said that they would want to spend the remaining time giving their all to their families and traveling with them, and just getting to know them. One wondered, if that is what they would do, why wait for some supposed threat of death? Mr. Butterworth had hoped that some of the people interviewed might draw that conclusion for themselves and make changes in their priorities, which would have justified his project. He said it was interesting and somewhat revealing of a general undercurrent of fear that every person interviewed read morbidity into the question. He did not ask, what would you do if you had only 6 months to live? The only was read into the question by the listeners. What he asked in essence was, what are you planning to do with your life for the next 6 months? 6 months ago, you had 6 months to live. 6 months from now, you will be able to look back and see that you had 6 months to live. So you can see how great the need is for a consciousness of life as a whole experience. If we really give our consent to life, past and future merge into the now, and concern for termination of life has no place, because we are too busy living. 6 months is a long time. Suppose you had to live it in jail, in solitary confinement, in the battle of combat, or in the intensive care unit of a hospital. So why fear 6 months of life? Strangely, the thought of 6 months of life was so terrifying that many of those interviewed replied that they would end their lives, that they just could not endure waiting around. What a sad commentary on their involvement with life and their poor sense of self-worth. One of the people interviewed replied, I will do what I have always done. I will live one day at a time. It turned out that 10 years previously, this particular individual was told by his doctor that he had a terminal illness and had about 6 months to live. He said that it seemed logical to him that one cannot really live more than one day at a time anyway, so why not just take them as they come? He said that he had experienced 10 years of creative and fulfilled life. There was no sadness existing in anticipation of impending doom, which in his case never came. You have to wonder if the centering of his consciousness in the now was the secret key to his wholeness. I love the words that Walt Whitman said. This is what he said. Oh, while I live to be the ruler of life, not a slave, to meet life as a powerful conqueror, and nothing exterior shall ever take command of me. And yet, how very many people become slaves of time. There is a common tendency to equate time with life. And so, in living, we move through a progression of days, of weeks, and months, and years, fully expecting and realizing the progression of deterioration of vitality and beauty. The great truth is, life cannot be analyzed in terms of length of time, length of years. It can only be measured in depth and breadth of living. We may ask about a person who has made his transition, how long did he live? But that is really irrelevant unless you are a historian. All that really counts is, how well did he live? How deeply did he live? How much did he achieve? And how far did he progress in releasing his own imprisoned splendor? Thomas Carlyle once said, our main business is not to see what lies dimly in the distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. This thought had a profound influence on the life and the thinking and even the meditation practice of the great surgeon, Sir William Osler. It was he that evolved the idea of living in day-tight compartments. He urged people to seal off each day into segments complete in themselves. And, as Theodore Roosevelt said, do what you can with what you have, right where you are. Now, of course, we need goals that transcend one day, for goals give direction to life and vitality and depth to our thoughts. The person who removed all his goals in the face of the supposed 6-month sentence would live a 6 months of fear and dread. But living and working toward a goal, he would live dynamically and fully. Life for him would have meaning whether he lived only 6 months or another 60 years. Have a plan for your life and ideals toward which to build. But keep in mind, a goal is not a preoccupation with tomorrow, but a direction for today. There is no tomorrow. Today is all there is, for when tomorrow comes, it will most certainly be today. Life is a consistently unfolding adventure. Let it happen, and keep it happening in the now. Do not hold too tenaciously on things that have passed, and do not grope so frequently for things you hope will happen in the future. Give your consent for today, for God's good time is right now. It really doesn't matter when the year begins, but as long as we think of January 1st as the beginning, it is a good time to make a new commitment to growth, to overcoming, and to achievement. Many people faithfully make resolutions on or before the eve of the new year. Now, a revolution is a fine thing. It can be a helpful technique for achievement. But realistically, few last through the first month. As someone has joked, most resolutions go in one ear and out the other. The problem is the resolution is normally made to reach too far into the future. Life can only be lived in the now. If you resolve to do something, or you resolve to refrain from doing something for a whole year, one slip and the whole project is down the drain. Then it is said, well, that's that. It was a nice try. How much better to outline goals for your year, but then to make a resolution each morning for one day only. Begin each day with a commitment. Today I resolve to be strong, to keep free from worry and negativity, to eat sensibly, to reject that drink or that cigarette, and so on and so on. It is much easier to work on things one day at a time. And the beauty of the resolution for a day technique is if we fail during the day, the next day we can start anew. If we fail 50 days in the year, the score is still 315-50, and we stay on the winning side. This keeps the emphasis where it should be, and then a resolution is more than a wish or a vague yearning. It is a commitment, a sincere covenant between you and the divine forces within you. One of the finest resolutions or commitment for a new year is to become established in a new tempo of living. Tempo means time related to that which is passing and contrasted with eternity, which is that which endures. The new tempo that I am suggesting is the awareness of the eternal, the changeless, the now. Time is related to temporary, to that which wears away, runs out, or grows old. But the new tempo is the consciousness of the ceaseless flow of love, the allness of time, the ever-renewing activity of life, and the inexhaustibility of basic substance. Why not commit yourself to a new tempo where there is no hurry or rush nor any of the pressures of fear and worry that cause them? Get out of the frenzy of pushing, pulling, driving yourself, competing against everyone around you, using yourself up in order to find or keep security. Get into the awareness of now. Really believe in the here and the now. This is the place. Now is the time. A great discovery awaits you. If you do things in time, you experience strain and drain. Do them in eternity, and they will be done easily and in no time at all. Now, of course, I'm talking about attitudes. But what is a year or a day or a moment but an attitude? Whenever you find yourself rushed or pressed, take a few moments of quiet meditation in which to recall that you are living in eternity and there is enough time, there is enough wisdom, there is enough substance, enough love, and enough energy to do and do well anything that needs to be done. It is a mystical thought, but a practical key to effective living. There are people who make predictions on January 1st, forecasting all sorts of dire things for the new year. It is as if the year is fixed, period, and complete with all of its happenings already set in stone. Actually, no one can see the year ahead, no matter how great the psychic power the seer may have. He may sense trends and movements in consciousness, and so he may project forward to predict things. But even if his calculations are good, the events need not happen and will not happen if there is a shift in consciousness or a change in the tempo of living. So don't play Russian roulette. Your future depends on you. You make the difference. Don't get into the wishing business. It is said that so many unthinking times, I wish you a happy new year. This is really saying, I hope you get lucky. I like Emerson's gentle rebuke. He says, shallow men believe in luck. Strong men believe in cause and effect. Instead of emphasizing the new year, why not emphasize the new you? Let's begin to say happy new you. It's a positive and realistic blessing. In other words, let your greeting be. May you really make a new beginning in your life, living within a new tempo. This is what faith is, letting go of the temporal, the changing, the evidence that life is on the wane and time is running out, and getting into the awareness of the changeless and eternal, the ceaseless flow of life that cannot know depletion. The best resolution that you can make is a commitment to walk with faith and not by sight in the days ahead. This does not mean walking with your head in the clouds, for this kind of Pollyanna attitude easily disillusioned if difficulties arise. Faith is not expecting no challenges, for life is change, and change means growth. Remember, it is faith that says, when I meet my next Waterloo, I shall be a Wellington and not a Napoleon. I will not be a victim of circumstances, but I will be their master. When we walk in this kind of faith, we are living in a way that causes things to work together for good. It is a consciousness that is synchronized with the holy rhythms of harmony and peace and creativity that are omnipresent in life. Carl Jung first referred to synchronicity as meaningful coincidences that cannot be casually explained. But they can be explained as the synchronization of thought, a consciousness that is in tune with the universe. I want to share with you a story of how the motion picture actress Marjorie Rambeau celebrated a new beginning. She was in an automobile accident, and after prolonged stays in the hospital and several operations, she was told that she would never walk again. Eventually, she resumed her career, taking roles in television where she could sit. In time, she was able to stand painfully, but she could not walk because there was a paralysis of her muscles. Eventually, she was cast in the motion picture called A Man Called Peter, the life of the late Peter Marshall. In one of the scenes, she was to sit in the front pew of the church, and at a given time, when the congregation stood, she also was to stand with them. But then, as the people walked out, the cameras were to cut away while she was carried out. An actor playing the part of Dr. Marshall was delivering one of Peter Marshall's inspiring sermons on faith. He said, "If you really believe, then if you step out on faith, you can do amazing things." Miss Rambeau was listening and responding with a quickening of faith. She forgot she was an actress in a scene, and she forgot that this was only an actor speaking his lines. She heard the message. It awakened some dimension of consciousness that had been lying dormant in her. And suddenly she caught a new tempo, and she attuned herself with it. Her whole mind was synchronized with the idea, "You can." When the congregation turned to walk out, she turned and walked out with them. It almost threw the whole cast off. She was a cripple, after all. She could not walk, but she was walking. The cameraman was awed by the scene, but fortunately, he kept his camera trained on this modern miracle. She made her way, haltingly, but surely, down that aisle, and she continued to walk every day after that. She had caught a new tempo, a new rhythm for her life. She marched confidently to her own drummer. She was in tune with the rhythm of the universe. It was a new year for Marjorie Rambeau. It was a new beginning. She let go of the painful experience and the prognosis of the doctors. It was all in the past. She faced forward and she stepped confidently into the unknown. King George of England, in a broadcast to the world in 1939, in the early days of World War II, quoted from a poem by M. Louise Haskins, words that have been a light to many in the years since. And these are those words. "And I said to a man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than the known way.'" The known way is always in the past. Walking the known way will make a new year or a new day the same old, same old. Make the commitment that you will walk in new ways, with a new tempo, with a new rhythm for living. Put your hand in the hand of God, which means that your consciousness will be in tune with the eternal flow of life, substance, and intelligence, instead of with the ways of the world. You will walk by faith and not by sight, and your way will be filled with unbelievable good. Happy New You. You are at the midpoint of eternity, and today is the first day of the rest of your life. It will become for you all that you can conceive and all that you can believe. You make the difference. And so I wish each of you a happy new you. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable in your chair. Rest your feet on the floor and place your hands in a comfortable position in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment. Be still. Be still and quiet your mind. Let go of everything that is outside this holy and peaceful sanctuary. Let go of all those little nagging and worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. If you're holding on to any anger or resentment, any jealousy, let it go. There's no place for that. And just be still. Be very still. And go within. Go within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and peace. In my Father's kingdom, there is neither time nor space. There is only the eternal now. Now is all there is. The past is done and gone, and the future is yet to be. Let us not focus on the past or the future, but let us be in the now. Let us be in the moment, for all that is life is present here now. All that life has to offer is present here now. We need not fret over the past, and we need not worry for the future. For Jesus told us that our Father is our sufficiency in all things. He provides for our every need. He knows our heart's desire. Remember to consider the lilies and how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. If God then so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, and neither be doubtful of mine. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of all these things. But rather seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Love is here now. Peace is here now. Joy is here now. God is here now. He stands at the door and knocks. Open the door to your heart and let him in. Now is the time. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love, and his peace, the peace that passes all human understanding. Amen.